This is what you want to tell the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed. Renew. Flowing from the grace that I found in you. Lord, I've come to know the weaknesses I see in me. Hope is saved away by the power of your love.
Come on, come on. Lord, I come to you. Lord, I come to you.
Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed. Renew. Glory from the grace that I found in you.
Oh, Lord, I've come to know.
Lord, I come to know the weaknesses I see
in me.
In me
will be stripped away.
Will be stripped away.
By the power of your love.
By the power of your love.
Oh, be.
Let
your love surround me.
Let your love surround me.
Bring me near.
Bring me near.
Come into your side.
Come into your side. You live in me.
spirit in me by the power of your love.
Father, we thank you tonight that wherever your people are gathered, Lord, you are in their midst. And we know that you are here with us this evening. We yield ourselves into your holy hands, O God. And I pray, Father, for the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of you. I pray, Father, for the tongue of the learned. I pray, O God, that, Father, demons will flee and liberty and wisdom will come to the people of God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated in the name of the Lord. And instrumentalists, please come and take your seat. If you just joined us, please take your phone. Because if your phone goes off, I will not be happy with you. So take your phone, turn it off. And if you want to go and wee-wee for any reason, do so now. Okay? Do so now if you want to go wee-wee. Just go out, go wee-wee, and then come. Amen.
Amen.
As you go, don't disturb. Nana and Ko, if you are going, just go. If you are not, sit. Amen.
Amen.
Right, I believe that our lives are not over until God says so.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There are many people who give up so easily when they go through certain situations. But, you know, I read a lot about successful people because I want to be successful.
Amen.
So, I read. Please, if you are going, go now. Because I am tired of when I preach, then people move up and down. They disturb the meeting. So if you want to go and we just go now. Okay? All right. Don't leave in the middle of the preaching. Otherwise, I will ask you to give me 5 verses on repentance. And I know that the scripture is in there. When you are there, amen. But listen. Sexually abused at 9. Ran away from home at 13. Pregnant at 14. Beauty queen at 17. Abused drugs in her 20s. Does that sound familiar to you?
Yes.
Is that your story? That's not your story. Or that's your story. Maybe, I don't know. But I don't think that is your story. First black American woman on national TV in America and millionaire at the age of 32. Sounds strange, but it is true. You see, most of you here, this is not your story. You were not sexually abused at the age of 9 and you did not run away from home at the age of 13. You were not pregnant at 14. You were also not a beauty queen at the age of 17. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Zero to hero. That's the title of my message.
Amen.
Listen. Oprah Winfrey, one of the most respected black American women in the world, started out a deprived black American girl in the poor city of Kosciuszko, Mississippi, to unmarried lovers. She started her early, you see, that's the title of the story, From Zero to Hero. She started her early education in the kitchen of grandmother because her maid mother could not afford formal education. Her grandmother, Hatimaya Lee,
was so poor that opera often wore dresses made of potato sacks, for which the local children made fun of her. At age 14, after the death of her son, shortly after his birth, Oprah was shipped off to her father in Nashville, Tennessee, who was strict and made education her priority. She went on to high school and became the teacher's pet, but that did not stop her falling into some tumultuous relationships that introduced her back to hardship. Determined, that is the word, determined to make her life work. At 17, she entered a local beauty pageant and won Miss Black Tennessee Beauty Pageant, becoming the most popular girl in school. She also attracted the attention of the local black radio station, WVOL, which hired her to do the news part-time. She worked there during her senior year of high school, and again while in her first 2 years of college. In 1983, Winfrey relocated to Chicago to host WLS TV's low-rated half-hour morning talk show, and that was AM Chicago. The first episode aired on January 2nd, 1984. Within months after Winfrey took over, the show went from last place in the ratings to overtaking all talk shows as the highest rated talk show in Chicago. It was renamed the Oprah Winfrey Show, expanded to a full hour, and broadcast nationally beginning September 8, 1986. Lesson learned. You are only a failure if you fail to try. You are only a failure if you fail to try. Today, 26 years later, Winfrey is arguably the world's most powerful women by CNN and Time.com. Arguably the most influential women in the world by the American Spectator. One of the 100 people who most influenced the 20th century. And one of the most influential people of 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, and 2009 by Time Magazine. What is the lesson? So now you know it is not how highly placed your birth is. What you decide to make of your life. If you sit down and wallow in self-pity, you would amount to nothing, and life would move on without you. Remember, it is not over until you say so. Amen. Amen. You know, of late, my prayer has changed. The things I pray about and the way I pray has changed. Because I realized that in the Bible, God has given us precious promises. There is nothing that we need that God has not given to us. God has given us everything. The Bible says that it is the will of God that we prosper and be in good health. That means that God has given us prosperity, isn't it? And God has given us good health. So something that you already possess or something that you already have, you don't ask for it because it is already yours. But what we lack is the revelation to really possess what God has given to us. So if you don't have the revelation of knowing the things that God has given to you, you will not move on. You will still be praying for things that God has already given to you. Amen. You know, in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 15, the people of Israel, they were crying to the Lord for help. Meanwhile, God had already helped them. And I believe that as they kept crying to the Lord and bothering God, God was so agitated by their prayers. So he turned to Moses and told Moses that, why are the people crying to me? Why are they crying to me? Tell them to move on. You see, so sometimes instead of you to move on, you are crying. You are crying about your upbringing. You are crying about the fact that so because I was confused, I didn't know. Yeah, I thought it was growing. You know, it was snowing or rain was falling. I didn't know what was going on. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 What was I talking about? So you see, when you look through the Bible, there is nothing that God has not given to us. He has given us his rich and precious promises. But if we don't have the revelation to receive, you will always, you know, be looking for things that God has already provided. You see, your life is not over until it is over. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And how you start is not as important as how you finish. Because I have seen people who started good, but they ended up in jail. They ended up in so many places. Let us read two scriptures and then I'll continue. Psalm 113. Psalm 113. And I'm reading from verse number 3. Psalm 113 and verse 3. Thank you, Jesus. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That means you have to praise the Lord every time.
Amen.
Whether things are good or whether things are bad. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Lord is high above the nations. You know, when you are high, you can see everything that is happening. So wherever the Lord is, he sees you. And he sees that your life is not over until you yourself, you decide that your life is over. So it depends on you. It does not depend on God. Because God has given us everything. You know, one day Kenneth Hagin was preaching. And he said that he had a revelation. And he was talking in the presence of God. He was having a conversation with God. And while the conversation was going on, the devil came there and tried to destroy or disrupt the conversation. And he was thinking that God would turn to the devil and cast the devil out. But God was not doing anything. He was just continuing with the conversation. And then at a point, Kenneth Hagin said that he became agitated and then cast out the demon from the place. So later on, he turned to God and asked him, so why did you not cast out the demon? It is never in the scripture. So the Lord told Kenneth Hagin that if I have given you authority, according to Luke 10:19, to cast out demons. Why should I do the job for you? It has been given to you. The power has been given to you to exercise your power over the enemy. So God is not going to do for you what he has already given to you or what he has already asked you to do. Hallelujah. And I am telling you tonight that your life is not over. What you need is wisdom. I am always praying for wisdom. I said, Lord, give me wisdom. That is what I need. I need revelation. I don't need any more money because I see cash all around me. What I want is the revelation to see. That is the whole point. That is the whole point. Revelation to see. Wisdom to see. There was money all around Jacob, but he did not know. It took revelation for him to see that the jump that he was doing, there was money in it. All that you have to do is to do some signs, and then when you see the sheep or the goats, you know, trying to be happy, you show them this picture. And as you show them this picture, their mind will be somewhere else. And then they will produce a lot of what they are seeing. You see, what you see and what you hear, it affects your mind. Hallelujah. I said, what you see and what you hear, it affects you. If you hear negative things all the time, you will be affected. So I have decided that I will not allow negative people to come around me. And people who are always morose and they always have a reason why they are not happy, I don't want them around. I would rather turn my attention to those who will make me happy. Hallelujah. Because the fact of the matter is that we all have troubles. So I don't want somebody to remind me of his trouble or her trouble. Change mine. Hallelujah. Uh-huh. It is very, 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 very important. So what you need is wisdom and you need revelation. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Verse number 5. Who is like unto the Lord our God? There is nobody like him. Who dwelleth on high? Who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? Verse 7. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust. I said the Lord, he is the one who can change your destiny. He will change your situation. Amen. He will raise you up from the dust. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, when you go to where I come from, there is a lot of dust. When you are coming back to this place, you put your shoes in polythene bag, and then as you come here, you turn on your Hoover, your vacuum, you know, cleaner, to vacuum the dust. Because it is red. So you need to vacuum the dust before you can even polish it. But the Bible is saying that there are some people, their life is in the dust. But the Lord is going to lift you up from that situation. And I see the Lord lifting you up from that situation. And I am here to announce to you that it is not over. Until the Lord says that it is over. Amen. It depends on you. Amen. It depends on you. Amen. Who humbled himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. He raised up the poor out of the dust. When you read the story of successful people, not many were born with silver spoon in their mouth. But the Lord lifted them up from the dust. Hallelujah. Amen. I said the Lord will lift you up from the dust. Amen. Listen, this story, it says that Oprah Winfrey, she was so poor that they used to sew clothes with potato sacks. That is not your story. But today she is worth billions of dollars Because it is not over until the Lord says it is over. Hallelujah. And the Lord will lift up the needy out of the dunghill. Dunghill is bolasu. Dunghill is where they throw garbage. That is dunghill. And many of our lives can be described in that way. We are so needy, we can't even buy good meal to eat. The things around us, unless of course there is sale, you can't buy what you want and what you like. But the Lord is going to lift you up from the dunghill. Hey! You have gone to the shop. You have seen the shoe you like. You have tried it on. You have walked around the place. You said the shoe is nice and you like it, but you cannot afford it. And then after that, you just, you know, remove the shoe and then you put it back. And then as you are going, you just look at the shoe. And then you go, the Lord is going to lift you up from that place. Hallelujah. I said it is not over until it is over. It is not over. There's a lot of gold around you. You don't need to pray and say, God, give me the gold. You need revelation and you need wisdom to see the gold around you. Hallelujah. I'm saying that the Lord is going to lift you up from the dunghill. Bolaso. That is the dunghill. And the Lord is going to lift you up from that place. Why? So that he may set him with princes. I said so that. You see, there is a reason why God is going to do that. And the end purpose is to set you up among princes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Where you will dine and you will wine with princes. I can tell you that some of you, you see, when you go out with some people, especially people who are not of your descent, over dinner, you will not feel comfortable. Your hands will shake out that the forks and everything will collapse. Yesterday, I had a date. One of our pastors came and he wanted to talk with me. So he said that you are in town. So let's go to, you know, a restaurant. I said, no problem. I'll show you one. No problem. So I took him to a place. So when we got there, he said, Apostle, how did you locate this place? How did you locate this place? I said, I live in Manhattan. This is where I live. You see, God, right, was set. Listen, life is very short. And it must be enjoyable. It must be what? Enjoyable. Oh, and we ate and the food was also very nice. Oh, it was powerful. It was very nice and powerful. It's very different from the one that you eat at home. Very different. Oh, man. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you that the Lord is going to set you among princes. Princes. He's going to surprise you one of these days. I said the Lord is going to surprise you one of these days. He is going to lift you up from the dunghill and set you up among princes. It will not matter about your education. It will not matter where you come from. It will not matter your accent. It will not matter whether you have papers or not. When the time comes, I say when the time comes, the Lord will lift you up and place you among princes. He is God. Hallelujah. I said he is God. And whatever he has determined for your life, it will come to pass. Amen. He maketh the barren woman to keep house. Bishop said that some people don't know that tea is a social drink. So in the afternoon when they give you tea, you say, ah, but it is too hot. Why are you giving me tea? You don't know it is a social drink. We don't drink it because it is cold. May the Lord lift you up and set you up among princes. Hallelujah. Amen. In your house, they will lay a table for you. They will put the fork here. They will put the knife here. They will put the spoon here. Hallelujah. Amen. And you will learn how to eat certain foods. I said you learn how to eat certain foods. Do you know Alfredo chicken? You know Alfredo chicken? You know chicken mushroom? And I said fufu onkwa. Chasa with the fufu onkwa. Hey! I said, hey! Hallelujah! Amen! Good! Let's read another scripture. Another scripture. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Kabonde sitelimro katayanda. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Korunto of woman. Tibako. Dichem. E donunsia. When he actually said, for ye see your calling. For ye see your calling, brethren. How that not many wise men after the flesh. I mean, as you look at yourself, see that you come from very far. Far. You come from very far. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh. When we are looking for Obontias, they won't call you. They won't. They won't. As you can see, you are not one. Hallelujah. Not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God had chosen the foolish things of this world. I said, God has chosen. The boy, he did not, you know, hear the news. Eh? Okay. Let's leave him. He is a father. Amen. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. One day people will see you and they will be confused. My wife told me that one day I will see her and then I'll call her, auntie, give me $10 for my pocket. He said one day she will be so revolutionized that I'll be shocked. And then when I see her, I'll say, auntie, I'll call her auntie. And she said, me, I will call her auntie. I said, okay. Dream on. But let me tell you something. One day God will see you and he will change your destiny. People will see you and they will not be sure whether to call you auntie or to call you uncle. People will see you and the way you have changed. I said there is inside light inside you. Your color has become yellow. Hey! I said there is inside light. Inside light. Do you know inside light? Come on now. Inside light. Hey! It is powerful. The way your face has become very smooth. Hey! This your big stomach. It has shrunk. Nice one. I tell you. Nice. You are no longer a beer bottle. I mean, there is a difference where the stomach ends and where this one begins. You understand what I'm talking about? I said the Lord is going to change your destiny. Give the Lord a shout. Give him a shout. Hallelujah. They will say, is that you? And you say, yeah, it's me. Because God has chosen the foolish things to confound the wise. There are people who think that they are so wise. But the way God is going to elevate you, the way God is going to change your destiny, the way God is going to give you a new name. Hey! Those who have rejected you, they will come back again. I'm telling you. You see, I have a good friend, pastor. I talk with him all the time. We chat, you know. One day he was looking for a job. He looked out for 2 years. He couldn't find one. Then the Lord changed his destiny. I said, the Lord changed his destiny. When his destiny changed, all the people who rejected him, they came back again. And now he couldn't even make a choice where to go. You see, now there is no money in your pocket. There is this not in your pocket. The way you look, you want to hold it. Hold it. Hold it for me, okay? You hold it for me. You see, the way you look, right? They can't see your future. They can't see your future. So people will make decisions based on the way they look at you. But you see, you may never know how my end will be. It is not how I start, though. It is not how I start. That is why she told me that one day I will call her auntie. I said, okay, it's good. It's good. It is not how you start. That was why Paul said that, you see, those things, they are behind me. And now I press on. I press on. It is a matter of pressing on. It is a matter of pressing on. God has chosen the base things of this world. So you see, if you are a Christian and you give up so easily, it's not good. It's not good. It's not good. I say it is not good. Because there are many people who have put themselves down. And God cannot help you. You have put yourself down. But Paul said that all those things, they are behind me. And I press on. Press on. Press on. You have to press on. You just have to press on. Hallelujah. I said from zero. You can start from zero, but you become a hero. You will start from what? And then you do what? You can start from what? Close that door for me. And you do what? You become a hero. It is possible. With God, all things are possible. All things are possible. You must always listen. Don't pray for husband. Don't pray for wife. Don't pray for beloved. Don't pray for good. Pray for wisdom. 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 That is what you need. Pray for wisdom. Pray for revelation. Wisdom. Revelation. Understanding. Wisdom. Revelation. Understanding. Wisdom. Revelation. Understanding. Wisdom. Revelation. Understanding. And you will see how your life is going to turn out. Because you don't need anything again. You need revelation to accept and be blessed with what the Lord has blessed you with. Luke chapter 15. Luke 15, verse 11. Hallelujah. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. I don't think that in these days somebody can be so bold to come to the father and make such a request. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. I believe that the son converted everything that the father gave him to cash. Because otherwise, he could not have taken off. If it was a house that they left for him, he sold it. If it was air condition, he drank the air condition. He exchanged everything for money. And then he took off. Hallelujah. Into a far country. Why far? So that nobody could even see him and advise him. So that he would be away from the familiar territories. He will be far away from, how do you call it?
Perimeter.
It goes school him for. You'll be far away from where people notice you. You'll be far away from where somebody can give you advice. You see, if you are going to destroy yourself, there are certain decisions that you take. When you leave the church, you go to a place that nobody knows you. Nobody can call. You are out of coverage area. So that people will not reach you. You see, and the devil wants to push you as far as possible. You see, so many times then, when people are doing their stuff, you see, I don't want him to know. I don't want him to know. As though you are doing me a favor. You are not doing me a favor. You are not doing me a favor at all. You know, even if I am sure about something that I am doing, I will ask. Because what you don't know is that you may omit something that is so important. You see, yesterday I was having a conversation with someone. And then he told me that, I wish I had spoken to you much earlier. I would have diverted my course. I mean, not my course like, you know, study, but the path or what he is doing, you know, to something else. I said, at the end of the day, you need money. So you have to, when you invest, you have to think about what can bring you maximum return. Not just investment, but what can earn you maximum return. You see, so you may be very sure about something, but at least when you discuss, somebody may tell you something that you don't know. And I always learn when I talk to people. I always learn when I talk to people. Then I realize that it is not everything that I know. I need to study, and I'm always talking. I always want to know. But there are some people, they behave as though they know everything. It is not like that. It is not wisdom. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is not wisdom. But this guy, he converted everything into cash. And then he went to a far country. And there, wasted his substance with righteous living. The Bible says righteous living, but did not tell us what that involved. It was only the senior brother who came and actually gave us information about what this righteous living meant. Do you understand what I'm saying? But the Bible says righteous living. But when the elder brother came, he broke it down. Broke it down for all of us to understand. And when he had spent all, you see, money, it gets finished. Hey, I had some money be under my bed, so some, you know, over time, I just put my hand there, although I am cleaning the place, but I'm not. I'm taking some money. And I used to do that over some period of time. One day, I put my hand there, it was dust. I said, where is the money? When I put my hand there, dust. Then I just, you know, prostrated. When I realized the thing was finished. When you spend money, it gets finished. Hallelujah. So this boy's money got finished. And look, as soon as the money got finished, something happened. It is just like you buy a television set and then you get warranty. The day the warranty will run out, that is the day your television will get bought. So as soon as his money got finished, a mighty famine arose. A mighty. It was not an ordinary famine. I say it was not an ordinary famine. It was a mighty famine arose. Hallelujah. And then he began to be in want. You see, some of you have worked out for a long time, but you have nothing to show. Nothing to show. If you don't work for 3 months, you can't survive. You cannot. You can't. And if you can survive too, everybody will know your story. Everyone will know your story. But you have been given a lot of things. Look at your W-2 form every year. Look at it. Look at it. You have built mansions on your hair. Your hair, mansions, apartments, condominiums are on your hair. Houses are on your head. As for your stomach, there a lot. Apartments here and here, and then some too. They have overflown to boys' quarters. You see, you have boys' quarters here. Boys, you see, you have boys' quarters here. Boys' quarters. Boys' quarters. So you see, when his money got finished, he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his field to feed swine. It shows the guy's desperation. You see, somebody who was rich, who left the father's house, rich. Now look at his end. So it is not how you start. You can start to be a rich person by your end. Look at Ghana contractors. Look at them. They start very rich, but at the end of their life, they don't have anything. And he would fain fill his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. If you see a swine eating, very dangerous. And look at this guy trying to compete with the swine for their food. The guy was very desperate. Hallelujah. But then no man gave him. And when he came to himself. When he did what? He came to himself. Listen. Don't let bad circumstances and bad situations let you come to yourself. There are some people, until they see their firstborns dying, they will never come to themselves. Pharaoh saw a lot of miracles. A lot. Frogs. Locusts. The Nile turned into red. But he hardened his heart. Until the firstborns began to die. Don't allow your firstborn to die before you come to your senses. But the Bible says that this guy, he came to himself. There are so many people who have not come to their senses. They look at their situation. They need help. But they have not come to their senses. They are 40 years old. They are still sampling the ladies. And they have not come to their senses. They don't know that their firepower is going down. I'm telling you, it's going down. Let me tell you, when you were a young boy, that is when you were chasing the women like that, though.
Yeah, when you are young, that is when you chase them in the, you know, in the house. But when you get into, you know what I'm saying? You see, they, you know, when they are downstairs watching television, play, it is not like they want to be there to watch television. They are running away. Yeah, because you see, now the ladies, they are finished, you know, giving birth. Isn't it? So it is not like children are chasing them and they are, you know, tired. Now they have time for you. But you too, you don't have time. Tracy, what the 6:30? But listen, a lot of people have not come to their senses. And they are still sampling. They have not come to their senses. Actually, as you can see, life is just passing by. Every year they make resolution. I will go to school. I will go to school. Hey, I feel way there. I will go. But they have not. I mean, they have not. Every year they have resolutions. They have not come to their senses. They have not come to their senses. They have not. They are still praying. They are still waiting. And then they even have songs that they sing to make themselves happy. But they never come to their senses. They know that, Charlie, these people that I have joined myself to, they are taking me to the bush. And when you go to the bush, you see bush meat. And when you see bush meat and you eat bush meat, Ebola. That is where Ebola comes from. Or you don't know? Ebola is bush meat. It has been there for a long time. Been there for a long time. But yeah, it has been there for a long time. So those of you who are expert in Akrentie and Kusie and all those things, be careful. Careful now. People have not come to their senses. Hallelujah. I said people have not come to their senses. But this guy, because of the situation, listen, if you walk with wise people, you'll be wise. Oh. If you walk with fools, you also become a fool. If you walk with people who make, you know, mountains out of every situation, you will find out that you are being affected every time. You are moved with fear. Sometimes you need to break out. Hallelujah. And take the step. Come to your senses. The Bible says that the guy, you know, when he surveyed his surroundings, he came to his senses. He came to himself. And he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare? He just sat down and he analyzed his situation. And he said that, you know, by now go and look at my father's house. Even the servants have a lot to eat. Sometimes you need to sit down and analyze your life. Take stock. If you do, you will come to your senses that you are just sitting down not doing anything. Hallelujah. So he sat down and then he analyzed his state of life and said that, you know what? I am wasting my life here. Where I come from, my father is so rich that even the servants there, they have enough to eat and to spare. Anything that you have just enough It's not good. When you are going to buy a house and you calculate, oh, me and my wife, when we join our money together, we can buy that. Here, a lady's man here, you don't chop it off.
She has ideas, Sibia. Meboa.
A lady's money, don't never ever make plans. Don't touch it. Don't make plans.
Listen to what your pastor is telling you. Never make plans with your wife's money. If you alone can buy it and pay for it without any problem, then do so.
Before you realize, they have all the cards. They have TJ Maxx. They have Macy's. They have Saks. Fifth Avenue Saks. They have Macy's. They have all the cards. And then when you see their wallet, you know that the Lord has been good to us. And every time they come home with bags, when they come, their first stop is the closet downstairs. And then whilst you are asleep, they transport the things upstairs. Don't make plans with it. And if what you have is just enough, it's not good. Because in Matthew chapter 25, the difference between the wise and the foolish was how much extra oil they had. So you must always have extra oil. Just in case, extra oil. Don't say, oh, I will give this place to this tenant and then he will bring me, you know, 400 every month. When they are leaving, they won't even tell you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. He says, I will arise. He came to his senses. He came to himself. And he said, I will arise. And I will do what? I will go. Hey, I will arise and go to my father. And I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. First of all, he came to his senses. Secondly, he said, I will arise. Thirdly, he said, I will go. He took a decision and he followed up with the decision. Hallelujah. A lot of people see their state, but they don't take decisions. When the guy arrived there, he said exactly what he planned to say. He didn't say that, oh, you know, I was on vacation and then I'm coming to see how you are doing. No! No. He did not say that. He said, I will arise. I will get up from that situation. You see, a lot of us, we have reduced life into one-step logic. One step. I'll show you and I'll demonstrate it. Get up, my brother. Okay. You know where the bathroom is, right? You want to go and wee. Take two steps. One, two. Wee wee. Wee wee here. Can you wee wee? Why? 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 There's no bathroom. It means that the step that he has taken is not enough to get him to the bathroom. Please come and sit down. Do you know what I'm talking about? Most of us, we have reduced life to one step, especially Christians. When something happens, then you sentence yourself to prayer and to fasting. After you pray and you fast, that is one step. That is one step logic. You don't do anything again. You don't.
not. A wife in the house, you have only one step logic. You are praying, that's all. Your husband is misbehaving. He has located somebody. So you are praying. That is all your prayer. But after that, after the prayer, there are certain steps that you have to take. You see, otherwise, your prayers won't work. And then you just, behave as though prayers don't work. You just behave as though laying of hands, they don't work. But they work. But after you pray, there are certain steps. I said, well, you have to come to your senses to know that you have prayed, that the situation has not changed. There is something extra that you have to do. You have to be, yes, the step one is prayer. Step two, be interested in the person too. Be interested in the person. Don't be only interested in yourself. Be interested in the person. Yeah, be interested in this person too that you live with. Is that not the case? Otherwise, your prayers will not go anywhere because it is only one step logic. There are several things that you need to do. Seven. Not that he comes home, then it's as though you don't exist in the house. Then the guy has become like some scavenger. In the house, he moves around the place. Meanwhile, you haven't gone anywhere. You are, in the house. You are praying. Listen, the prayer is good. I said the prayer is what? But that is not the only thing. It is just one step. Logic. There are my brother just took two steps. He wanted to wee-wee, but the two steps could not get into the bathroom. There are several steps that he has to take to get to the bathroom. So when you dress nice, he doesn't see. When you make your hair nice, he does not see. Meanwhile, you are praying. That is not the only thing that is required. There are several things that must be done. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then it goes for the guys too. Because I have to say that, otherwise I'll be in trouble. Because the ladies will think that, as I'm talking, they'll say, no, what about the guys? That is what you are thinking, right? That is why I am chipping it in. But that is not what I want to say. I have to add that one to you. The prayer is one step logic. The guy said, the guy came to himself. And he said, I will arise and I will go and I will say several steps. First one is he came to himself. Second one, I will arise. Third one, I will go. Fourth one, and I will say. And he became a hero. He started from zero, but he became a hero. He became a hero. We see this all around. All around. In the church, when there is a problem, first thing, if people don't come to church, the first thing that comes to our mind, Pastor, is what? Prayer. You are burdening the people. Jesus told Moses, why are you crying to me? Tell them to move on. Move forward. The prayer is just one step logic. But after you finish praying, you have to take your Bible and go witness. You have to arise and go and witness. But we finish praying. This church, we pray. Don't we pray? One day I told a lady that, Charlie, this year we are going to pray. Do you know what she told? She said, hey, so then what has happened to all the prayers that we have been praying? If we are now going to pray there, then I haven't seen it before. What are we going to do? But after we finish praying, that is where it ends. We have come to our senses. That is where it ends. But we don't arise. We don't go. And we don't say what we plan to say. The prayer is just one step logic. When Solomon was blessed with wisdom, the Bible says that then he began to search for wisdom. After they had laid hands on him, that was when he started searching. After they have laid hands on you, when you read the Bible, you will understand. But when they lay hands on you, say, hey, nyamie shamio, nyamie abuame. So that's it. You don't do anything again. You don't do anything again. That is one step. You realize that you don't, you know, you don't become who you have to become. And it is as though the one who prayed for you is not anointed. The prayer is just one step. You have come to your senses. But you need to arise. And you need to go. And you need to say, hey, this year, me jog pa. Yeah, kwa no, no. Hey, the apartment is overflowing. Look at who is talking. I said, look at who is talking. As I'm talking to you, I have a treadmill in my house. I've forgotten the last time that I went on it. Hey, yeah, one more flow. Yeah, one more fool. Just one step logic. Just one step. Just one step will not get you anywhere. Eh? Just one step. How many of you have always planned that you will go to school? Every year you will go. As for this year, dear. As for this year, dear. As for this year, I will go. As for this year, I will go. I have gone to schools to go and pick application form for people, thinking that they will move forward. They will arise. Yes, they will arise and go. I have gone to take application forms. You see, sometimes when you are a young pastor, you think that you are 1,000. You can do everything. But when you take time to study the people, you will know that what they are thinking and where you are coming from, they are parallel. I mean, they do meet. That doesn't cross ground. Parallel. You did one exam and then you failed, so that's it. You are joking. You are joking. And you are comfortable. Meanwhile, your money has finished. And you are eating with pigs. And you have not come to your senses. You are a joker. You are a joker. Your life will not be turned around because you are born again. But your life will be turned around if you come to your senses. And if you say to yourself, I will arise. I will go. And I will say. That is it. That's all. So when the guy went, he did the same thing as he had planned. When the new year came, he did the same thing as he has resolved to do. It did not evaporate at the end of January. And it did not evaporate at the end of February. Did not. Sometimes I'm surprised that I have finished school over 10 years. I finished my master's program over 10 years. Some of you, you were brought from Ghana to this place to come to go to school. I shouldn't even go there, otherwise I will have problems. You have not come to your senses. and you have not arisen, and you have not said to yourself that I will go, you are still there. One day the grace will be removed from under you, and you realize that you have wasted a lot of your time. In the church, if we don't arise, prayer alone cannot move things forward. It is only one step. Follow-up is important. Evangelism is important. Prayer is important. Vibrant service is important. You see, sometimes when the choir come and they sing, I don't even know why they bother to come and sing. It's like, hey, we have to sing something. So we have lined up. The person playing the conga, and they are even talking. They don't know what the praise and worshiping leader is doing. The person playing the keyboard, he's not playing it to bring a flow. As far as he's concerned, he's bashing. So the whole thing does not synchronize. It is some, noise. It's just like some crazy noise be going. Noise. Just noise. All things work together. All things. Don't pray for papers. Because you can get a paper and it will not change your life. Tell you. It won't change. It won't change your life. Because you see, you have not taken the decision to arise and go. You have not taken the decision. But this guy, when he took the decision and then he got home, the father called all the people. He said, come, let us celebrate this guy's homecoming. He became the reason for the celebration. Meanwhile, the senior brother was in the house, but he was not celebrated. He was not. It is the one who took the decision to come to himself and to say, I will arise and I will go and I will say to the father, take me as one of your servants. The father said, look, you were dead, mom, but now you've come back home. It's okay. Let us, celebrate. So the one who became the hero was not the one who stayed with his father all the time. So sometimes we Christians, we think that we have access to the grace of God. We covet it. But you find out that unbelievers, they will come to their senses. They will arise. And then they will go. And they will say. You see, we are only using one step logic, prayer. You have prayed that, but you are still poor. You have prayed, but you have not been able to do anything for your life. It has never changed. You thought that your problem is the paper. Now you have it. What do you have to show for it? It has never changed. It is as though you never even got it. It's as though you never even got it. And all that you do is prayer. That is your prayer. But arise. Come to your senses first. Arise and say, I will go and do exactly what you have planned to do. This church, we should stop the prayer. Because we have prayed. It is time for us to arise. I said it is time for us to arise. If you are a husband, you have prayed. It is time for you to arise and use wisdom. If you are a wife, you are praying that every day, but the husband is going further and further and further away because the prayer is only one step behind it. Arise and do what you are supposed to do as a wife. That is it. If you are a student, you must arise. You know, people who go to school with fees paid for them, they don't think. They don't think. That is my idea. And I also saw a documentary being done that people who go to school and their fathers write checks for them. When they go, they don't know perform. But if you know that you have student loans awaiting you, you don't mess about. When I went to school, I had student loans. So I went to school every day. When I put myself in the school, I did not stop till I finished. No vacation for me. Yeah, because the longer I take, the more my bills piles up. So I went to school straight. Summer straight. Winter, autumn. I didn't know vacation. Like you, you come on vacation, then you are home 3 months. I didn't have that luxury. Because I was paying from my pocket. And any time that I waste is going to compound. You see, you have everything, but you don't have the wisdom to enjoy. That's your problem. You don't need any extra money. You need revelation. You need wisdom to even enjoy what is in your mouth. Yeah. You who have built that big house and then you have, you know, given it to Sampana to, you know, live in, and then you are paying Sampana.
Yes.
Right? He is living, and then you are back here doing, living, working, snow, and then you are paying him too. You and Sampana, who is wise? you must use some wisdom here. Shall we rise? Just rise. I want you to close your eyes and pray for